We'll see what the Lord wants to do tonight in the Word. One thing I know for sure He wants us to do, and that is to read the Word, to proclaim the Word, to declare the Word, to do the Word, to believe the Word, to act upon the Word, to make the Word become a part of us. So we'll share a passage here out of Matthew 22 and then let God by His Holy Spirit lead us. Before we begin to read, let's just pray for a moment. Father, we thank You for the privilege of having Your Word so easily available to us that we can read it, we can study it, we can declare it, we can preach it without fear of prosecution or interference, that we can have it in every different version and every different color and every different style. We receive it tonight, our Father, for what it is, the holy, inspired Word of God, all of it. We acknowledge that You speak to Your children through Your Word and that You reveal Yourself to us through the Word in the same way that You reveal Yourself to us through the living Word, Christ Jesus our Lord, the Word become flesh. We know that this Word is alive. It's not a dead Word. It's a living Word. We believe it and receive it as such. And since it is a living Word and it is Spirit, as Jesus said, and life, we know that it does become part of us, that it joins itself to us so that we become one with it, with You. And so, Father, this passage that You want us to share tonight, would You just take it and cause it to be ministered in the way that You want it to be. Cause us to divide it rightly and understand it clearly, and cause it to be food for our spirit. Give us a good solid meal on Your Word tonight, Father, as we break this living bread. Lead and direct by Your Holy Spirit. Cause me to speak, Father, by the unction of Your Holy Spirit. Give us, Father, Your truth, Your Word for us tonight, right now. We thank You for doing that, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin to read in the 23rd verse. Jesus is in Jerusalem. This is during the last week. He did much teaching in Jerusalem. Much of the New Testament, much of the Gospels took place in the last week of Jesus' life. This is just one event. Matthew 22:23. The same day came to Him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked Him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue or no children, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. Last of all the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the multitude heard this, they were astonished at His doctrine. Prior to the Lord coming into Jerusalem during this last week, the religious leaders of His day had plotted every way they could to find a way to catch Him. And they wanted to catch Him in His speech so that they could kill Him. If you'll read over in the Gospel of John, they also wanted to kill Lazarus, because Lazarus was living proof that this man Jesus was the Son of God. They wanted to destroy the evidence of His works. The Pharisees, earlier in this passage, had just come to Jesus and had tried to trap Him and tried to trick Him, the things that they were asking Him. Now the Sadducees in the passage that we just read. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were two different sects or two different groups within Judaism, two groups of Jews, religious leaders. The Pharisees believing in the law, in every jot and tittle of it, and they had made the law so complicated that it was impossible for the people to ever obey it. The thing that distinguished the Sadducees were the Sadducees did not believe in spirits, they did not believe in angels, and they did not believe in the resurrection. Now you can well imagine why they would want to destroy Lazarus not believing in the resurrection. Because Lazarus is an evidence, you see, that a man can be raised from the dead. The Sadducees came to Jesus and they tried to trick him. And they said, now, you've been talking about the resurrection. You've been talking about the resurrection from the dead. You've already said that if you're going into the grave for 3 days, that you're going to be resurrected from the dead, that your God is going to raise you from the dead. Now tell me, if there really is a resurrection from the dead, how are we going to work out this law of Moses here about the woman that had seven husbands, seven brothers that she was married to? Whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Now, the poor Sadducees are doing the very same thing that so many people are doing in the world round about us. They're trying to understand the resurrection of the dead. They try to understand the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They try to understand the Christian faith with the natural mind. You don't understand spiritual things with the natural mind. The natural man, the Bible says, receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned or spiritually understood. These were natural men, unregenerated by the Spirit of God. They were not born again of the Spirit. They did not have the Spirit indwelling them in any form or fashion. They were natural men. They understood not the things that Jesus was trying to share with them. I like what he said in the 29th verse. He said, ye do err. He says, you blew it. You made a mistake. Because first of all, you don't know the scriptures. And secondly, you do not know anything about the power of God. You don't know the word of God and you don't know the power of God. You make a mistake. You make a judgment on the things of God by natural decision and natural judgment, and you don't know anything about God or about His Word or about His power. You err, friends. You err. You don't know the Scripture, and you don't know the power of God. All right, now it's very interesting how he explains this. I never understood this particular little passage here until yesterday. I was just reading through the book of Matthew, reading the events of the life of Jesus, thinking about the week that was leading up to the crucifixion, and I came across this passage, and I had read this passage I don't know how many times, and some of you are probably going to say, well, what's the matter with him? How come he never saw that? It's so simple. But I never saw it until yesterday. It's a simple little thing, and I don't know that it'll be any great revelation for you tonight, but I just felt led of the Lord to share it. Sometimes when you sit down at the table, sometimes you eat a great feast, don't you? Sometimes you sit down and you eat turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy. Make you hungry, doesn't it? And two or three vegetables and a relish tray and a salad and breads and rolls, and you can't hardly get up. You're so full. The next time you sit down at the table and you take a snack, you have a little sandwich and some potato chips and a glass of Coke, and you've had a meal, haven't you? You have fed your body. Well, it's the same thing with spiritual food. Sometimes you sit down and you eat a great turkey dinner, one that just knocks you back on your chair and you can't hardly get up. The next time God will give you a snack. I think He's going to give us a snack tonight. Okay? So the reason I tell you that is I don't want anybody expecting turkey and dressing. You know, if all he's got tonight is a ham sandwich, because you're going to be disappointed. But know that what you get is from the hand of God, all right? That's what's important. Okay, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And then he talks about what the resurrection is like. That's not really the important thing that he's getting at here. He says in the resurrection, people don't get married. You don't have men and wives in the resurrection. They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they're like the angels of God in heaven. There's neither male nor female in the resurrection. But this next verse, the next two verses, are what really struck me. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, Jesus said, but what you ask me now about the resurrection, let me tell you what it's about. Have not ye read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, and he quotes the scripture. Remember, he said, you err not knowing the scripture. He said, now don't you remember, haven't you read that which was spoken to you by God when he said, I am the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. God said that, didn't he? He said it many times under the old covenant. He told Moses when he was on Sinai before the burning bush. And Moses said, when I go down there to Egypt, they won't listen to me. God said, tell them I sent you. And he said, well, who shall I say sent you? Sent me. Who's your name? And he said, you just tell them that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob hath sent you. Over and over again in the Old Testament, God Almighty identified himself to his people as the same God that was the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Jesus said, you remember all that? Remember all those times that was in the Word? And then he said this, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now think. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, if God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, and he said over and over again in his word, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, what does that tell you about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Huh? Are they dead or alive? Go on, you can speak out. That's all right. They're alive. Jesus said, you don't know the scriptures. You err. You don't understand the word of God. He said in the word, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. God is the God of the living, not of the dead. Abraham is alive, friends. Isaac is alive, friends. Jacob, that one that wrestled the angel way back there in Genesis, he's alive. He's not dead. He's alive because his God is the God of the living and not of the dead. Now that ought to tell you something about Jesus. Since God is a God of the living and not of the dead, you can rest assured that Jesus is alive. You can rest assured that Paul is alive. You can rest assured that Peter is alive. You can rest assured that James is alive. You can be absolutely sure that Timothy is alive. And you can be sure that if you are in Jesus Christ, you're alive. He that hath the Son, the Word of God says, hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Jesus said, he that believeth on me hath passed over from the dead to the living. God is a God of the living, not of the dead. And if we have Jesus Christ in us, we are alive. Now turn over with me to the book of John, the 12th chapter. Now I'm not telling, if you're born again, if you have the life of God in you, you already know what I just told you. It's no surprise to you to know that Jesus Christ is alive. It's no shock to you or no surprise to you to know that you are alive. But I want you to get it grounded in the Word so that you understand what kind of life it is that you have. John chapter 12, verse number 23. And Jesus answered them saying, this is his disciples Philip and Andrew, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I want you to see tonight how life comes into you. I want you to see out of the Word how Jesus said life would come into your existence. It comes by the route of, do you see it there? Death. Eternal life follows death. Eternal life comes after your life dies. You receive the gift of eternal life when you put your life down. You cannot receive the life of God until you first die. Now you say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Do you mean that I don't get eternal life until after I go into the grave? I didn't say that. You say, do you mean you must die a physical death before you get eternal life? No, I didn't say that. The Word of God says that eternal life is, that godliness is profitable now in this life as well as that which is to come. When the life of God comes into you, you receive the gift of eternal life right then, in this life. And when you go, when your body goes into the grave, your spirit passes to be with Jesus. Your life just continues, but you receive it only after death. Well, what kind of a death am I talking about? This kind right here. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then this next verse. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. There's only one way to have the life of God in you, to have eternal life. And that is to lay yours down the same way Jesus did. That is to die to yourself. To lay down your own rights and pick up the life of God. To lay down your own existence and pick up the life of God. To turn away from the old and to receive the new, which is Christ Jesus. Eternal life. We must die first. Then we receive that eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I like that verse. I like that one. If any man serve Jesus Christ, him will God the Father honor. Jesus said it in another way, he that cometh unto me will I in no wise cast out. Godliness is profitable, friends. It is profitable to serve God. It is profitable to lay down your old life and pick up, receive the life of God. It is profitable to put yourself in the grave and to come up a new creature in the same way that Jesus did. Yes, Jesus was crucified. He did die. He did die a physical death. But the death that he died that's important to you and me is not his physical death, but it's his spiritual death. And as that corn of wheat, Jesus Christ went into the ground and died so that it abided not alone. When he was raised from the dead, he produced much fruit. You and I are that fruit. You and I are the produce of the life of God in Christ Jesus. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. God is a God of the living, not of the dead. If you have Jesus Christ in your life tonight, God is your God. God Almighty is your God. But if you're not born again, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and as your Lord, God is not your God because you're a dead man or you're a dead woman. God is a God of the living and not the dead. If you don't know the Lord, I invite you to lay down your life in the Spirit as Jesus did his and receive Him as Lord and Savior and pick up the life that He gives us, that resurrection life, so that we'll never die again. What's the song we sing out of John 11:25? I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never, ever die. How many of you know Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior? And know that you are one of the living? And know that God is your God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's good, isn't it? It's good. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And since He rose from the dead, so do we know that we shall also. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that in the Lord Jesus we can have life and do have life. And that when that life comes to us, that it is all sufficient for us. It's our assurance of eternity with You. It's our assurance of Your preservation and Your protection. It's our assurance of Your deliverance from oppression and victory over the things of Satan. It's our assurance of health and prosperity, as well as eternal life with You. It's our assurance that You are our God. And as Paul said, that if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Father, how we thank You tonight for what Jesus did. He didn't have to, but He said, for this cause came I into the world. For this reason, that I might give my life a ransom for many. He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down. Father, Your salvation, Your plan of salvation is so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so simple, yet so true. We just want to thank You tonight, Father, that in Jesus Christ we are alive, that in Jesus Christ we have the life of God in us right now, that should that day come, that if the Lord tarries and we do go into the grave, we know that we'll be resurrected as He was. For we know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And if He does, then He will quicken our mortal bodies by that Spirit that dwells in us. You said Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. We're to follow. What a blessed, 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 blessed assurance. How wonderful, Father, to know what awaits us, what's ahead of us. We thank You, Father, for what You've accomplished in Jesus Christ. We thank You for what You've provided for us in Him. We just want to bless You in His name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let me ask you to stand, please, in the congregation. James, would you come forward? You take it. Let's just worship. We have much to worship God for, much to celebrate, much to thank Him for. I want us just to worship Him tonight.
Save me.
Psalms 145, 10, 11, and 13. All thy works shall praise thee.
Oh,
is taking place, it's unto God. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. If we're gathering before Him tonight, I just want to invite you that if there's a need in your life, you desire to touch God for tonight, if you desire to have someone to pray with you, if you would come as we're just singing that chorus again, we're gathering together unto Him. If you'll just come forward, we'll agree with you and pray with you tonight for whatever your need is. God's a big God. If He is able to raise Jesus from the dead, then He is able to meet whatever need you have in your life. There isn't anything that's too small. There isn't anything too large. We've heard here tonight about a diaper rash and about the resurrection of a dead man. And surely your need is somewhere in between. Amen. God's able to take care of the small and the great. So if you have a need tonight, just come and gather before God and we'll pray.
Praise His name.
We are
God's delivered his people tonight from worry.
Hallelujah.
And from fretting.
Hallelujah.
From fear. He's given wisdom and he's given peace and he's given assurance.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know that we serve a living God and a God that is the God of the living?
Hallelujah.
Isn't it good to know that God knows what we need and how to get it distributed to us, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Not only